Deep fakes get real. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. Deepfake technology has advanced over the last few years, and if you don't believe me, believe my Marketplace colleague, Kimberly Adams.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams.
That was an AI-generated version of Kimberly's voice from the deepfake Stone Age of 2022. Here now is what software can produce using a 30-second sample of Kimberly's voice today.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams.
That sounds a lot more real. Scary stuff. Well, a deep fake robocall impersonating President Biden, encouraging voters to stay home for the New Hampshire primary, showed how high the stakes are this election season. Kimberly, who's based in D.C., says election officials are closely monitoring this threat.
The technology is so good now, we can't rely on whether it sounds real anymore. And I covered a summit a few weeks ago here in the D.C. area of local and state election officials from all over the country. And they are very worried about this. And they're trying to get the word out now that if people are looking for information about their polling place or voting dates or voting times, that they need to be going to their local election officials, not necessarily relying on a robocall or what they find online.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see how incredibly vocal and public officials have been about the response to that Joe Biden deepfake. The New Hampshire Attorney General said that this was traced to a telemarketing company in Texas. There's a probe. The FCC ruled last month robocalls using voices generated by AI are illegal. That came, you know, very shortly after this robocall deepfake. Criminal charges even potentially on the table. But now there's a political consultant associated with the Dean Phillips campaign who says, this is what he said. He said he planned, this is from NBC News, by the way, they made the connection that it was this guy potentially. He said he planned the fake robocall from the start as an act of civil disobedience to call attention to the dangers of AI in politics. It kind of feels like we have officially entered bizarro world. I don't even know what's real and what's fake anymore, even with the explanation for what happened here.
Well, what's real is the risk. And this is something that election security officials have been warning about for years, even before this technology was available, that it was going to be relatively easy to mislead voters with just a well-placed call or a well-placed piece of misinformation. And especially given how good these tools are now, we're seeing it and it's going to be an increasing risk.
Yeah. And it's incredible. I mean, to your point about how fast this technology is advancing, you can have a real-time conversation with, you know, a fake thing, a synthetic audio something that is completely viable at this point with the technology that we have. The other point I find very striking is, you know, this in the Biden deepfake example in New Hampshire, the system worked, right? You know, we found out about it. We reported about it. The news media spread the information about what had happened. But what happens when, you know, this audio gets to the point where it can scale to lots of local elections? There, I think there's a much more pronounced opportunity for harm. And those local races are so important in the lives of everyday Americans and could be the next frontier for this. So something to watch out for. So to that point, how can Americans recognize this AI-generated material? That's a question we've been thinking about a lot here at Marketplace Tech. And we've been speaking to experts about this, including Hani Farid. He is a computer science professor over at UC Berkeley. He specializes in the area of digital forensics and misinformation. And we asked, you know, what happens if you get a cold call yourself that's related to the election, something akin to that Biden robocall that might be telling you what to do or not to do in some cases? Here's what he told us.
First thing to do when that happens is to either pick up the phone or get online and check to see if this is true. Because look, if somebody calls and says, my election station has been powered out, first thing I'm going to do is call that election station. So understand that people are going to try to manipulate our election, whether that's individuals, whether that's organizations, whether that's state-sponsored actors, and you have to protect your right to vote. And that's on you. And that is not fundamentally an AI problem, because there's lots of ways we can get manipulated, from phone calls, from emails, from text messages, from social media. And we have to be prepared for that.
Bottom line, it sounds like the message is, first and foremost, do your homework.
Right. And that's tough, because it means that the labor is on the individual voter, because you really cannot rely on the systems that are in place to protect you against this at this point. And that's why, as I was mentioning earlier, you have these election officials trying to get the message out early, spending millions of dollars in jurisdictions all over the country for PSAs and public ad campaigns to try to let people know not only, you know, where their polling places are and what they need to do to vote, but also to try to get ahead of some misinformation, like, no, your voting machines are not connected to the internet, and no, you're not going to hear about, you know, some secret effort to move ballot boxes, because even though we're talking about audio deepfakes, we have the potential for video deepfakes, as well as manipulated photos, or even just people taking real audio but telling a false story around it. If you operate from the assumption that there will be actors out there trying to interfere in the election, that's probably a safer stance to take.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Kimberly Adams in our conversation on audio deepfakes. On the tech side of this, you know, in terms of what these audio deepfakes sound like, you know, a couple things to think about. They tend to be more flat in tone. The volume doesn't always fluctuate as much as it might in real speech. And look for, is the pronunciation perhaps too good? Because we don't always use perfect pronunciation. If it sounds too pitch perfect, the pronunciation is flawless, that might be a red flag as well. I mean, we just want tips, right, on what to do. But here's a bit of a reality check, also coming from Professor Farid at Berkeley.
I would very much like to give your listeners tips, but I can't. And here's why. Whatever I tell you right now, in 3 months, it will be useless. We notice that the cadence of AI-generated speech is highly regular as compared to natural speech. We notice that the volume doesn't change very much across the speech. But in 3 months, that won't be true. Just a little bit of common sense goes an awful long way. Stop worrying about whether it's AI or not and start thinking about what is being said.
That's so important. And Kimberly, you know, one of the things that you have done is had conversations with your family members to sort of position things, set the table for when this might be an issue. Talk to us about that.
We literally did this at the dinner table at Thanksgiving. I told my family, I said, look, there's a lot of audio of me out there on the internet, but I will not be calling you with an emergency asking for money. And so if you get a call like that, it's most likely not me. And so one of the things that I encourage my own family to do with me, as well as with their other family members, is to have a safe word, something that, you know, you can use as a verification if you get a mysterious call that you think might be a deep fake or that just seems a little bit suspicious, because there are a lot of scams out there that have cost people tens of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars, where people think they're helping out a family member or following instructions from their boss or from a client, and they end up, you know, falling prey to some of these deep fake audio scams that are getting increasingly sophisticated. So something as simple as, yes, as Dr. Farid just said, think about what's being said. If you think it's a family member, but you're suspicious, ask for your code word or whatever challenge questions you have. If you are suspicious about whether or not it's really your county election official, you know, make sure you have the correct website ready so that you know where to go and double check, so that you're not just following blind information.
That was Marketplace's Kimberly Adams. We've linked to an online tool from the nonprofit Verified Voting, where you can search for your voting jurisdiction and get information about your polling area, including how you can vote. Today's podcast was actually part of our new limited video series out called Decoding Democracy, where we'll be breaking down what election myths and disinformation is out there, how to spot it, and understand how it can impact our democracy. Check it out if you want to learn more and take part in our quiz to see if you can tell the difference between real audio and a deepfake. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes graciously lent her voice to that experiment. It's a lot of fun. You can find that on our website, marketplacetech.org, or on our YouTube channel at Marketplace APM. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.